This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I'm the pastor of Elevation Church, and this is our podcast. I wanted to thank you for joining us today. Hope this inspires you. Hope it builds your faith. Hope it gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message. We have also been releasing in this series that I'm doing, Do the New You, not only this new book that I've written, but also we have been releasing 6 confessions of faith into your life one at a time, just giving you your daily dosage. And this one today is what Holly says is her favorite of the 6. And I think she says that because I need it the most. We're going to talk about joy today. And the specific mindset goes like this. The saying is only 4 words. It's the shortest of the mindsets. And this one goes, my joy is my job. Now you said it, all right? So just remember you said that when we finish this sermon. Because to say that means that I'm going to start taking responsibility for my own attitude and my own emotions and my own temper tantrums and my own road rage and my own self-pity parties. So let's say it again. My joy. Or maybe you just want to tell this to your neighbor. Maybe you don't want to say it about yourself. Just look at him and say, your joy is your job. Tell him, I can't make you happy. So we're going to look at this in detail today, but one of the things I've had a lot of fun in is going back through the topics in the book and the mindsets, but finding some stories, some epic Bible stories to locate. And this one today is as epic as it gets. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 16. Stay on your feet for just a moment as we read God's word. Acts chapter 16. And we're going to pick up in verse 22. And you may have heard this story before, but that's okay, because I want to demonstrate to you today that your joy is your job. From Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Thank you, Jesus. How many know if you have Jesus, you have joy? The Bible says in Acts 16, verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Good luck with that. Guarding the apostle Paul and his partner Silas. Good luck with that, dude. But he was commanded to guard them carefully. Verse 24, when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Give God a chains came loose praise. Lift your hands if you ever had your chains come loose. Somebody shout, my joy. My joy is my job. High five your neighbor and say, we've got work to do. You may take your seat. God bless you. God bless you. I want you to do a little time travel with me, okay? Before we go all the way back, let's just go back briefly. The year is 2009. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, how old were you in the year 2009? I think I had platinum blonde hair. I think my hair looked just like Graham's hair, the year 2009. All right, you got it? The Lakers have just won game two of the NBA Finals. Kobe Bryant is in a press conference. He's not smiling. The reporter asks him, aren't you happy? Why aren't you happy? Are you half happy? You're up 2-0. In the NBA Finals, you have to win 4 games to win the championship. So what Kobe said next is legendary. I'm not a big basketball fan. I'm not really a big sports fan. But my son Graham has quoted this so many times that I looked it up. And Kobe looks back, irritated, aggravated, and cold-blooded. He says, aren't you happy? You're up 2-0. Kobe says, what's there to be happy about? The job's not finished. Oh. Kobe said what I feel all the time. I'm not saying it's right to live your life that way. It just feels so good to be seen by somebody. Because happy people, smiley people, make me sick. What are you smiling about? What is there to be happy about? Kobe wanted to know. The job's not finished. I feel that way. I feel that way all the time. And I am a work in progress. And God is not finished with me yet. And he's developing me and getting me past this point of thinking that I've got to be completely finished in order to be fulfilled. And so if we travel back to 2009 or we travel forward to 2024, it occurs to me today that everybody in this room is sitting in the middle of unfinished business. There will always be a place in your life that feels unfinished, frustrating. And the thing about it is, you know, if you really want to get down to it, to be human is to be unfinished. But even the Apostle Paul, if we go all the way back, let's time travel a little more. Let's go to AD 50. He's taking the gospel to the known world. You could say that he was the shooting guard of the New Testament church, okay? Honor and respect to the Apostle Paul. Because he was unbelievably effective at what he did. But even in his own travels, in his own journey, he encountered many dips, cut, scrapes, and bruises along the way. For instance, he tried to enter on his second missionary journey, not his second NBA playoff game, but his second missionary journey. I'm kind of making some parallels here between Kobe and the Apostle Paul, but I'm just doing it for the illustration's point because he's going forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the Bible says that he was prevented from entering a certain place where he wanted to go preach in Asia, and he couldn't go in. And since he couldn't go in, he had a vision to go help people in a region called Macedonia, which is in Europe. And he gets there, and it's going pretty good. And it's going so good, in fact, that he has identified a woman named Lydia who had adequate resources to help them start their first house church. And so this is a big breakthrough because it's in a city called Philippi, which is a strategic center of trade and commerce in the region of Macedonia on the continent of Europe. And the gospel has never been to Philippi before. And we see now that God has a strategy to fill Philippi with the gospel. And it's going so good because Paul talks to this woman named Lydia and goes in her house and starts teaching an e-group or a pop-up. And Lydia's house is such an accommodating environment for a pop-up church. Shout out to all our e-fam. Let's give a shout out to all our e-fam from what's this address? 11701 Elevation Point. Yeah, we give you a shout out from 11701. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Wherever you are having church right now, whatever you're going through, we confer the presence of God upon you and your house and everything that's on your mind right now. We speak the peace of God to your situation. So Paul is preaching and he's met somebody who is a viable partner, and he and his partner Silas are going down the street, and all of a sudden I call her a little girl. I don't know how old she was. The Bible calls her a girl. Maybe she wasn't small in stature, but she had a very unique gift. She had the ability to tell the future, but it was a demon spirit that enabled her to do it. And so the people that employed her and enslaved her, I call it employed, but they really made all the money off of her gifts. So they were using her. Well, she followed Paul and Silas around all through Philippi for a little while, and she was shouting in a sarcastic, mocking kind of way, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they are telling you the way to be saved. These men are servants of the Most High God, and they are telling you the way to be saved." She said that so many times that eventually Paul, the preacher, Paul, the apostle, Paul, the holy man of God, turned around, and the Bible says he was annoyed. The Bible actually says that he was annoyed. You know, you can be anointed and annoyed, right? You know, you can have a mission and have mood swings, right? Yeah. He turns around and says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And the spirit left. But when the spirit left the girl, so did her ability to earn income for her masters, which made them unhappy. Since they were unhappy, they dragged Paul and Silas into the middle of the civic square where the commerce happened there in Philippi, put them on trial, made up lies about them, said these men are going against our Roman customs, even though Paul and Silas had Roman citizenship. The enemy is a liar, and he will lie about anything and use anything in order to wage his war to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. So the people take Paul and Silas and lock them in prison. And we picked up the story at a pretty unhappy point in Acts chapter 16, verse 22, at least for Paul and Silas. It is a very pivotal moment where the Bible says the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Please put verse 22 on the screen, because I want this lovely, beautiful church to see something all together. It says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And after I've told you everything I've told you by way of background today, could we agree that the size of the attack on your life is relative to the size of the assignment on your life? A crowd would not have attacked them if they were not affecting a lot of people. There would have been no attack if there was no anointing. And I mentioned this last week because I was trying to tell you that God is not against you, but he's in it with you, working through you, fighting for you. And yet to have God fighting for you does not mean that no one or nothing will fight against you. It almost guarantees that they will. I know it's not a fun place to clap, but let's clap because God doesn't leave us alone when we're under attack. Can we clap about that? Let me point out something else. The attack is not absence of God's presence. Yeah, and I'm going to show you that in just a moment. But before I do, let's talk a little bit about what Kobe said. The job's not finished. What's there to be happy about? You know, we're recording a bunch of new songs here tonight, and the most amazing musicians, singers, and technicians, and videographers, and graphic designers in the world will put together, hopefully, an amazing evening, and I hope you can be here, and I hope that you will enjoy it. This morning, I was riding to church listening to one of the songs that we're going to be singing tonight, the song that says, "Oh my God, you've sure been good to me." And we'll be recording that song tonight, but I was playing it, and I was riding with Abby, And I was riding with her and I was thinking, oh, I hope we record it right tonight. I hope it goes good. I hope the people show up ready. I hope they don't show up sometimes like they do where they don't really sing loud and then they mess up the recording because they weren't really into it. And then we can't use the song. I hope they show up tonight. I hope it's good. I hope everybody got enough sleep. I hope everybody's voice works good. I hope all the songs go good. And I'm thinking about the fact that we're going to record this song. And I looked over and Abby was singing the song off the demo. And I realized that it will be wonderful when we record the song. It will be wonderful when we release the song. It will be wonderful if millions of people are blessed by the song. And I hope that they are. But this right now. Somebody say, this right now. This right now, even though it is unfinished, it is fulfilling right now. I want to learn how to be sitting in something that's unfinished and still be fulfilled. I want to learn how to be able to say, I've got something to be happy about. Even though the job's not finished, because in the words of that famous hymn writer Bon Jovi, we're halfway there. Whoa. Somebody say, whoa. I'm halfway there. Yeah, I got two wins. So while Kobe's strategy may be an excellent strategy for sports, it is a bad strategy for happiness. For you to focus on what is unfinished in your life, the unfinished business of your spiritual growth, the underdeveloped areas of your character that still aren't as far along as you wish they were, the unfinished business enterprises that you don't yet know if they're going to turn out good or turn out bad. For you to focus on the unfinished is to diminish the gift of this right here, this right now, this breath, this sermon, this moment, this gathering, this praise, this opportunity, this new day, this season, this moment, this person, this relationship, this effort, this breath, this right here. Somebody say, this right here. So I'm headed somewhere and I'm excited about it and I'm working on something because I'm not complacent, but God, teach me to be content while I'm in it. Time travel to the year 50 AD with me, will you? Let's get out of 2009. We're going to party like it's AD 50 in the church today. Oh, yeah, we're going to party. Touch somebody. Say it's going to be a party in here today before this preacher finishes preaching. But first, in order to get to the party, we got to go through the pain. And I need to speak to you a little bit today about the danger of postponing joy. Don't let the pressure make you postpone the joy. Isn't that what Kobe was trying to say? No, I still got to get us to game. We got to win four of these, not two. So I can't smile at you right now. And it's a genius press conference strategy for a soundbite. I mean, let's be honest. We're still talking about it today. But it is a horrible way for you to approach raising your kids. Job's not finished. When will it be? When do you think it's going to be finished? You think you're going to send them off and they're going to be finished? There is a boomerang anointing on your children. Come right back. When will it be finished? When will it be finished? What's there to be happy about? I still don't have a job. I've been looking 4 months. Well, when you get a job, can't you lose it? Talk to me. Well, see, I'm single right now. When I meet my Boaz. What's that face? I will be blessed and highly favored. And all the married people said, ha ha! Unless you marry Holly, then you will be finally, eternally happy. That is
but she's off the market. And the thing about it is, if you postpone your joy because of the pressure, you will never give God praise. If you think there is a future date where you will be, keyword, I'm going to teach you for a little bit, when I'm free from this, when I'm free from this and I have more time, when I'm free from this and I don't struggle so much, when I'm free from this and it's not a temptation anymore, when I'm free from this, do not shout amen. When I am free from this relationship, if you're sitting next to them, go quiet. Just go dark right now. Just look really confused as I preach. If it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for this, it would amaze you how many people are waiting to be free from something because you think you're going to feel something when you're free from something. And what I have to learn how to do in my life, and I suggest it is the task of all of us who walk by faith and not by sight, is to be free, unfinished. To be free, unfinished. To know that, okay, well, my money isn't where I want it to be, but my marriage is. My marriage isn't where I want it to be, but my relationship with God is growing. My relationship with God isn't where I want it to be, but I'm in church today. Devil, did you see me show up with my good clothes on, wearing green? Come on, pinch somebody real quick and say, I just wanted to get one in. Pinch yourself real quick. Pinch yourself real quick. I mean, some of you need to wake up and realize all the things that God has done, and you are sitting there not smiling, not shouting, not celebrating, waiting on something else good to happen. When would be a good time for you to praise Him? I will bless the Lord at all times. All means all. Bless Him means bless Him. Bless Him right now. Bless Him, my brother. Bless Him, my sister. Bless Him, my friend. Bless them. High five somebody. Say, it's the right time. It's the right time. The Bible says that the jailer was commanded, hey, watch out for these two. Watch out for these guys. They're turning our city upside down. Watch out for them. That's why the devil has had you contained. That's why the devil is trying to constrain you with anxiety. That's why the devil is trying to press you down with depression, because there's something in you. The attack against you only indicates the potential that is within you. That's all it is. So, what you gonna do about it, Paul? And this must have shocked everybody who saw him in those shackles. This must have shocked everybody who saw him in those shackles. It's about midnight, the Bible says, which is a bad time. It's a bad time to go out. It's a bad time to be awake if you're in. I want to be in my bed at 9:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every night. It is a product of this stage of my life. And as the process of day gives way to the process of night, something very interesting happens. Say, my joy is my job. Now, the jailer was commanded to Paul and Silas as their guard. But the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23 that you are to guard your heart above all else. So while the jailer is guarding Paul, we see that Paul was apparently guarding Paul too. Because if at this point he has allowed bitterness to seep into his heart because this isn't fair, and if at this point he has allowed uncertainty to paralyze him, he is not going to do what he does next. The Bible says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And other prisoners were listening to them. It's a process. Put it in the chat. Say, it's a process. It's a process. It's a process. It's a process. And when you're going through things in your life and the unfinished business and realizing that it's a process, I'm a process. Recovery is a process. Wealth building is a process. Holiness is a process. Relational intimacy is a process. Showing up is a process. Staying put is a process. Day is a process. Night is a process. The day, the birth of day, includes the process of the coming of night. And at midnight, Paul and Silas started praying and started singing. If I could give that guard one word of advice, it would be, you made a mistake. Not when you put their feet in the shackles. You made a mistake. Not when you put them in the inner cell. That's the most secure part of the prison. I understand you were doing what you were supposed to do. I wouldn't even tell the guard that he made a mistake when he went to sleep, because you'll see in just a few verses that he actually was dozed off over there in the corner somewhere. And that's fine too, because their feet were in the shackles. But the mistake that you made was putting them together in the same cell. If you would have kept them in isolation, they would have processed this pain differently. If you would have kept them separated, Paul would have started processing, well, maybe God doesn't want us over here in Europe. If you would have kept Paul in isolation in his own cell, he would have started processing, why does life have to be so hard for me? God, you got Peter out of prison. You can't keep me out of prison. If he would have kept him in isolation, maybe he would have started comparing it to the last time that he preached. Maybe if he would have kept Paul in isolation, he would have gone into self-pity. Maybe if he would have kept Silas in isolation, he would have sabotaged. But the Bible says he did one thing wrong. He put them in the cell. The devil did one thing wrong this morning. He let you get to Elevation Church at 11701 Elevation Point Boulevard on St. Patrick's Day of 2024. Because he put you next to somebody who is about to pinch you. Pinch your neighbor real quick. Who is about to pinch you and look them in the eye and say, wake up! God is with us! Clap your hands if you know God is with me in the process. I speak it over your life. God is with you in the process. God is with you when it's 2-0, when it's 0-2, when it's game 4, game 5, game 6, game 7. God is with me in the post-game analysis because he's with me in the process. Put it in the comments. He's with me in the process. He's with me in the process. And I want to make sure that the way you are processing the unfinished places in your life, the way you are processing the imperfect parts of you, the way that you are processing the parts of your life that do not match your preference, I want to make sure that your process doesn't become your prison. So you ruminate and stew and have imaginary conversations where you get back at people who aren't even thinking about you right now. If I invested all the imagination and energy into preaching that I did into imaginary arguments with people, I would be Charles Spurgeon, Billy Graham. I just don't want, because we have to go into some prisons, right? They were thrown into one prison, but the other one, I think sometimes you aren't thrown into it. I think you think your way into it. So we got to process. It's hard to process, as we're talking about joy. It's hard to process when you're in prison and your feet are in stocks and it's dark outside and your back is raw because you were beat with rods. I know we normally don't go through things to this magnitude. That's why I think the story is so helpful. Because whatever you're going through, it isn't this. And whatever pressure you have on you, it isn't being the lead apostle for the gospel. just decades after Jesus Christ walked the earth. So if they did this, it can become an illustration for me. And it takes a they. So as you process, I want you to write down three things. Make sure you got the right partner to process. Write down the word partner. I need a partner. I need a partner in my life who will help me to process my imperfection and my unfinishedness in a way that encourages me with the grace to sit in my unfinished, but also gives me an example and a goal that I can go forward and grow into all God has called me to be. Clap your hands if you need a partner. Yeah. Matter of fact, I told Isaiah Zeke Templeton I might bring him up to be my partner. So come on, I think we should do it. Would y'all give Zeke a hand as he comes? Oh, come on, you can do better than that. It's Zeke, everybody. Zeke, as you come, I'll be Paul. You be Silas. Let's give the people a mental picture. Yeah, give him a microphone. We might do some singing before this illustration. I'm just saying, the partner I pick might indicate the purpose I have in mind. That's a whole sermon point. Nobody wrote it down. I picked my partner according to my purpose. God picks people according to his purpose. God picked you according to a purpose. So here's what they did. Here's what they did. The Bible says it's midnight. And it doesn't say that they were sitting like this. This just seemed to be a good way to get the point across. But they were in the same cell. And maybe Paul, I have some speculations about this passage. Let's see the scripture. Acts 16:25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Okay, so this is just a speculation. It's not in the text, but I just speculate. I don't think Paul was a very good singer. I think Silas was a better singer than Paul. Okay. And I take it from one scripture where people used to say when he would get up that he was unimpressive in person. So if you're a great singer, nobody's going to say that about you, right? So I don't think Paul's a very good singer. But I think, this is another speculation, I think Paul is the one who started singing. Because one thing Paul knew how to do is start stuff. He was an instigator. Okay? And so I imagine it's about midnight. And what else are you going to do? Because you can't move. He's not going to do any burpees. His feet are in stocks. He's not going to get prison ripped this time. And he goes, I know they didn't have musical directors in prison, but just give me a C so I can sing in a good note. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think sometime in the middle of the night, Paul went, what a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. It says they sang hymns, right? And I know that hymn wasn't written yet. Use your imagination. I think they sang something like that, right? What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. And he probably don't feel a lot of peace when he sings that. But I'm going to give you a life principle, worshipers. Sometimes you've got to sing until your soul catches up with your song. You feel that, Silas? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning. Hey, Silas, you awake back there?
Leaning. Safe and secure from all harm.
Now, I think when Silas started singing, Paul started getting louder. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. But it says they sang, put the verse back up. They sang hymns, plural. So they didn't stop singing. I mean, I think Paul knew so many hymns, he just started a medley. You know what I'm saying? Because I think he memorized some songs in a previous season that God knew he would need at a midnight hour. Uh-huh. So I think next he went, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You take this part, Silas.
Heir of salvation, purchased by God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood.
Now I want you to remember, their feet are in shackles, but they're washed in his blood. I want you to remember that their feet are in shackles, but they're born of his spirit. I want you to remember that your situation is dark, but you're born of his spirit. I want to remind you that this chapter is painful, but your story isn't over. And Paul said, this is my story.
This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story.
Do that again, Silas, but do it high. This is my story.
This is my story.
Oh, that's the kind of singing right there.
This is my song.
So what am I doing?
I'm praising my Savior.
Praising my Savior at midnight too. And all of a sudden the Bible says, as they were singing, something started shaking. As they were singing, something started shaking. Something started shaking. Praise started shaking something. And Lydia might have felt it at her house. And she didn't know what it was. But Paul knew, when we praise. Say it, Silas. When we praise.
When we praise.
When we praise.
When we praise.
And the foundation started shaking. And Paul said, oh, Christ the Son.
From your belly.
Somebody shout unto God. Shaking, 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 shaking. shaking. I'm singing in shackles and something starts shaking. I'm singing in shackles and something starts shaking. I'm singing in loneliness and something starts shaking. Because I got a partner, I got a praise, and the Bible says they did one more thing. They prayed. Did the Bible say they prayed in verse 25, or did I make it up? They prayed. Verse 25 says they sang, they praised, and they prayed. I don't know what songs they sang. I don't know what prayers they prayed. But I have a speculation about what they didn't pray. I would imagine if you're in a prison, your prayer, your dominant goal and thought would be what? Get us out. Somebody say it. Get us out. And yet, the Bible says, because I have heard this passage preached like you wouldn't believe about how a shout will bring you out. Which confused me when I read the next verse. Because the Bible says, can I preach the Bible? Y'all are looking at me so quiet, I feel nervous like I stole something from Target. The Bible says that after they sang and prayed, because I'm imagining Paul going, God, get us out by your power, by your blood, just like you brought Moses out of Egypt, just like you brought Nehemiah to the captives back to Jerusalem, just like you did it for them, just like you brought Jonah from the belly of the whale. God, get me out. The Bible says suddenly there was a violent earthquake and the foundations shook and everyone's chains came loose. Now, what do you do when you're in prison and your chains come loose? One, two, three. Leave! When your chains come loose, you leave, right? Because I prayed and he brought me out. But watch this. Verse 27 says the jailer woke up. Dude, you had one job. And the jailer woke up. And when he saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Because if he didn't, his superior officer would. Because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Well, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do when God sends an earthquake and opens the doors. Unless they weren't praying for God to get them out. I don't know who this is for. But you keep thinking God wants to get you out. And sometimes he does. And eventually they left. They didn't leave there. But verse 27 is very powerful. Can I preach verse 27? Can I preach verse 27? Is there one person in this church that wants to hear what happened in verse 27? Well, yeah. The Bible says the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Verse 28. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are all here. Why are you still here? And Paul says, I wasn't praying God to get me out. I was praying for God to come in. And these doors, help me preach, Holy Ghost, these doors are open. Because the King of Glory is coming in. He's coming in. Somebody lift your hands if you know he's coming in. So I want to propose to you, child of God, that you keep saying, when I get out of this, I'm going to praise God, which is the wrong perspective. Because you can praise God when you get out of it. But you can also praise God into it. And I'm going to give you 24 seconds to do it right now. I need to show you this. It would be glory to God, glory to God. She said it. She said, glory to God. That's what you've got to do right now. That's your job in this season of your life. Silas said, Paul, the doors are open. Paul said, the job's not finished. Listen to this. You've been wondering why you're going through what you're going through. I suggest there is always a bigger picture. And I present to you that not only did they have a partner and a praise and a prayer, but they had a purpose. And I say that to you about every single cell that you are locked in your life today. See, it would be wonderful if we could just come out of it. But shouldn't we first ask God to come into it? Yeah. That's my job. It's not by coincidence that Paul and the prisoners were still sitting there. The Bible says in verse 29 that the jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Wow, that's what that servant girl was following them around saying a few verses earlier. These are the men who will tell you how to be saved. Now the prison break happened, not so they could get out, but so that God could get in, because there was somebody whose life he wanted to touch. Wait a minute. This isn't a prison. It's a pop-up church in Philippi. God is starting a pop-up church in your life right now. He's going to demonstrate some things through you. He's going to show some of the people. The Bible says all the other prisoners were listening to Paul and Silas. Somebody's looking at your life, listening to your life. You are doing this for an example. The gospel is with you. The assignment of God is heavy on your life. There is a shout that will bring you out, but there is also a shout that says, I'm still here. And that's what Paul shouted. And he said, the job's not finished. And this dude comes over to Paul and Silas and got a sermon. Listen how good the sermon. When I learn how to preach this short and this good, we'll be out of here in time for brunch next week. They replied, verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Why were they in prison? Why did the foundations shake? Because as the foundations of that prison were shaking, a foundation for a church was being laid, the first church in Europe. And it all started in shackles. What is God starting in the shackles of your life right now? In the area where you can't move and can't do it. I know this much. You only have one job. One job. Because when he asked them how to be saved, they didn't say, get your act together and clean up your house and stop falling asleep on your night shift. They said, believe. And not just believe, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. God, I love it. And to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had become to believe in God, he and his whole household. What do you have to be happy about? I'm filled with joy because I believe in God. That's my basis. That's my firm foundation. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. I want to give an invitation right now. Bow your head and close your eyes for those of you who God has brought to this message today so that you can believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. The Bible says that jailer, upon believing in Jesus, was filled with joy. at the moment that you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you are filled with His Spirit. You are forgiven of your sin, and you are freed for your future. Right now, if that's you and God brought you here, and you have been in the prison of your sin and your self-effort, I believe that right now is a defining moment in your life. I'm gonna pray a prayer with you, and you repeat this prayer after me. And if you repeat this prayer and mean it from your heart, the Bible says that you will be saved. Praying after me, church, for the benefit of those who are coming to God or back to God. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And today, I make Jesus the Lord of my life. I believe you died that I would be forgiven and rose again to give me life. I receive this new life. This is my new beginning. On the count of three, shoot your hand up if you prayed that. One, two, three. Shoot them up all over the room. Online, say, I receive Jesus. Come on, let's clap our hands and thank God, church family. We can do better than that. Let's thank God for every soul He's saving, every life He's touching. Come on, let's give Him a great shout of praise.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. You can click the link in the description to give now or visit elevationchurch.org/podcast for more information. And if you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe, you can share it with your friends, you can click the share button, take a screenshot, and share it on your social stories and tag us at Elevation Church. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.